The Gospel of Mark, and we're on 8 and verse 17. And Jesus is dealing with his church, and he's dealing with a lot of Pharisees. So let's look at 17. Now, he's talking to his church here, and they think, and he said, "Where's the bread?" And they said, "Well, we forgot to bring bread. We didn't bring anything to eat. We're out here. We're starving," and all this kind of stuff. And so he told them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Herodians. And they said, "Did he say that because we didn't have any bread?" Had nothing to do with that subject at all. So now where we have the answer.
Well, why did Jesus say that?
We're going to find out. From here on, we're going to see what he said. Beware, because what? What leaven? And leaven in the Bible is known as heresy. Wrong, evil, wickedness. Okay? And let's see what it says here. Kai nu slige. Autois ti dialogoseste. Hote artos. Uk ekete. Upu. Noete, ude, sinete, petpo romenein, ekete, tain cardion, hemon. Now let's go back and look at this. And having known, now what did they just say? Why did they say this to us? Why did he just say, beware of the leaven, because we don't have anything to eat? Is he talking about their bread? What is he talking about? Beware of the leaven. Is the Herodians' bread and the Pharisees' bread something wrong with it? You know, they're thinking like Marilyn does with her cookbooks. They're thinking about food. He's talking about eternal destiny. He's talking about people that have gone the wrong way until they think they're going to heaven, and all of a sudden there is a slide to hell.
Because he just had an encounter with the Pharisees. That's
oh, yeah.
Why
yeah, they don't believe. They don't want to believe. They said, prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it. You're the Messiah. He said, I'm not going to give this wicked generation any proof. But he had given them more proof than what they needed, didn't he? And having known, he says to them, why do you reason for yourselves? Keep on reasoning yourselves, because breads not ye have, not yet ye understand. That word you don't, that comes from the word nous. You know, there's basically five or six words for mind in Greek, and nous is one of them, and that means spiritual understanding. Nous is spiritual understanding. Not yet you're able to put together, nor ye realize, look at this word here, that sinema, and I mean, you just can't put things together. That sinete comes from sinema, and it means to put things together. Second person plural, present imperative indicative. Having been petrified. Accusative singular, feminine, perfect, participle, passive. Having been petrified, ye have the heart of you. Now let's go back and look at the Amplified Bible and see what it says. He said, first of all, you've got petrified hearts. And being aware of it, Jesus said to them, now, he's aware of what? Because they were, what's he talking about? Is he talking about the Pharisees' bread? Is he talking about the Herodian bread? What's he talking about? And so Jesus was aware of that. He said, why are you reasoning, saying it is because you have no bread? Do you not yet discern and understand? Are your hearts in such a settled state of hardness? As in Jeremiah 5:21 and Isaiah 6:9-10. Now let's go on a little bit further. Ophthalmos. Econte. Sharon, did you just go to an ophthalmologist? You sure did, didn't you? All right. What kind of a doctor is that?
Eye doctor.
Eye doctor. Ophthalmos, econte, u, blepete, kai ota ekontes uk akuyete kai u mena mo nuete. Eyes having. You got eyes. And not, you see. You have eyes, but you don't see. What kind of eyes is he talking about? Talking about their eyeballs? No. He's talking about their heart, the eyes of her heart. And ears, ota, when that horse bit me and gave me a basal fracture, he severed my optic nerve. It's optic nerve, right from this word right here, optic. The optic nerve was severed, so then I didn't out hear out of that ear very much from then on. Ears having, and not ye hear, and not you remember. You can call to memory. Not you can call to memory. Let's go on and look at this and see what it says here in the Amplified. Having eyes, you do not see. Having eyes, you do not see with them. And having ears, you do not hear and perceive and understand the sense of what is said. And do you not remember? Remember what he did? Remember? Don't you remember what happened in the past? Did you ever, were you ever out of bread that I couldn't take care of the situation? Ever? Why, he fed 7,000 people one time, 4,000 people another time, and 5,000 people another time, plus women and children. So he fed here 50 to 100,000 people in the past. Don't you remember that? 8:19 now. Look at that word, ophthalmos. And then you see these things. We have the ophthalmos. We have two medical terms in that verse. Optic, ears, and ophthalmos, eyes. 8:19. The Greek language is the language of medicine and science. The Latin language is a medicine of law. All right. Hote, tus pente, artos, eklasa, eis tus, penta, kikilius, posos, kofenos, klasmaton, pleres, erate, lucusen, autu, dodeca. And when the five breads, I broke. You had five tortillas, pita breads. That's what they were. They weren't big loaves of bread. You had five tortillas, and I broke it unto the 5,000. How many baskets of fragments, of pieces, of klasmaton, how many baskets, kofinos, of klasmaton, full, you took, and they say to him, 12 baskets full. And you're worried about that we don't have any bread? And when I told you, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, what is he talking about? This is a parable, isn't it? This is an allegory. This is a parable. This is a metaphor, allegories, hyperboles. He was using all kinds of figures of speech, trying to get them to understand.
Because they were there with him when he had this encounter with the Pharisees.
Oh, yes. These are his innermost circle right now. Hote, tus, hepta, eis, tus, tetra, kikilios, poson, Phi-ridon, pleromata, klasmaton, erate, kai, lugusen, auto, hepta. And when the seven unto the 4,000, remember when I had seven loaves and the 4,000? How many baskets? Fullnesses, overflowing of fragments, you took, and they said to him, seven. So he's asking them, where were you when I did all this? Where were you when I did all this? 8 and 20. Amplified. And the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many large provision baskets full of broken pieces that I take up? These are large baskets. Now, this isn't a little tiny basket like a little Easter basket thing or something like that. This is a big basket. Big, large basket. How many large baskets? Great big baskets. Baskets of fullness of fragments. How many large provision did you take up? And they said to him, 7. And verse number 21 now. Kai elegain autois upu sinete. Now here we have a conjunction, of course. Page 208 if you want to write that down. Don't even have it written down in mine. Kai, and, now this adds another sentence to this, doesn't it? This adds another sentence. And, now, Sharon, what, tell me what number, gender, case, tense, everything that this is?
Singular, so it would be
he. All right, we're talking about Jesus.
Imperfect, so it's continuing action?
Yes. Indicative and active. He kept on saying. He was wore out saying it. Now, I repeat myself a lot. Why do I repeat myself?
To help us understand.
So you will understand the message. Why have I quoted John 1:14, 1:18 so many times in John 1 and 1? Because I want you to get who Jesus was. With that little 3 verses right there, you can arm yourself against any Mormon, against any Jehovah's Witness, against any Armstrong Church of God, and any other false doctrine that doesn't believe who Jesus was. Jesus is our Savior, is He not? He is our Savior. And He kept on saying to them, not yet, you understand. You can't put it together. Still, there's the word put it together there. 8 and 21. And he kept on repeating himself. Do you not understand? Don't you understand? Don't you understand? Let's get on the right subject here. Don't you understand what we're talking about? All right, verse number 22. Kai.
Kai.
Ekontai. Ace. Beisedion. Beisedion. Kai. Pharusen. Auto, Tuflon, Kai, Para Kalusen, Auton, Hina, Autu, Afite. And they came for themselves unto Bethesda, the house of spreading nets, the place of spreading nets. So there must have been a beach there of some sort. They like to spread nets on rocks, so maybe it was a rocky place where they could spread their nets out. And why do they spread their nets out, by the way?
So they can see where the tears are.
So they could see where they need to repair them. That's why they're doing it. And what are these guys?
Fishermen.
These are fishermen. So they came to the place of spreading nets, and they kept on bringing to him a blind one, Tuflon. And they kept on beseeching him, begging him, in order that he might touch. Look at this action in this he might touch. What tense is that there, young lady? Last word. Afiate. Opsite, that is. Hopsite.
It's third person singular.
Third person singular.
First
aorist. What kind of action is that?
That's like knife blade.
Knife blade action. Now look at the next thing.
Subjunctive
mode. And now what voice is it? That means may or may not.
Is it middle voice?
It's subjunctive mode and middle voice. So here we have volition, don't we? We have volition of Jesus. He may or may not do it. He may do it, he may not. Now, this is the native city of Andrew, Peter, and Philip. This place is. Let's go on to 8:22 in the Amplified. And they came to Bethesda, and people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. They begged him that he might touch him for himself. Let's see if we can get Jesus to have mercy upon this man. That's what they were very worried about. Now, what do we get here now? What's different here than all the other miracles that he did? What are these people thinking in their heads? What are these people outside of the inner circle thinking?
Are they thinking that maybe he is God?
Maybe this is the Messiah, because the Messiah, the messianic credential of the Messiah is to heal the blind, and nobody in the Old Testament ever healed the blind. No one. But now, they say, if this is the Messiah, if he is willing to touch him, we'll find out if this is the Messiah. Because this is it. 23. Kai epilabenos. Tes kairos. Tu tuflu. Ek a negain. Auton, exo, tes, comes, kai, tosas, es, to, amata, autu, epithes, tas, keras. I like to see you hear, say these words before I do. Boy, that's thrilling to me. I'm telling you, it's thrilling. All right, and having laid hold of the hand of the blind one. Now, the blind one, or the one blind there, in there we have a practical substance. They write that down, practical substantive. It says literally the blind, but we know we're talking about the blind one. So what you have a practical substantive, the one blind or the blind one. And he led him outside of the village, the Comes. And having spit in the eyes of him, look at that. Spit in his eyes. Some people used to say spit in your eye. You know, that was a bad thing. But here he spit in his eyes. Now, why did he do that?
I guess just to show some action on his
part. That's right. He wanted them to see the action of it. They didn't understand about the leaven of the Pharisees, and they didn't understand about the leaven of the Herodians. So maybe they're not going to understand if he just says you're healed and goes on. But he wants to show them that even his spittle will heal people. Not his touch, but just his spit. Now I want to tell you this little thing, and Roger, you know that I'm going to tell the truth here because you've read this. When the Muslims that followed Muhammad himself, when he would urinate, they wanted to get it and rub it on themselves. When he would spit, they wanted it. They'd rub it on themselves. When he sweat, they would rub it on themselves. When he bled, they would lick it off with their... Am I telling the truth? This is holy. Everything about him was holy, according to the people that were there that followed Muhammad. Holy. He got hit in the face with a stone or a piece of metal one time. They thrown a slingshot at him, and it stuck in his jaw, and one of his disciples ran up there and with his teeth pulled it out and broke his tooth off. And that was such a great honor for him to taste Muhammad's blood. Another person was going down there, and they were riding their horses together, and his leg touched the bare leg of Muhammad. And what a thrill. I'm going to tell you something. Muhammad wasn't anything but a man, period, and not a good one. Here we have God the Son on the earth. His spit heals people. His shadow heals people. And they wanted to get in Muhammad's shadow. all copycats of what really Jesus was. Pushing Jesus out of the way and putting Muhammad in the way. He spit in the eyes of him, and having put laid upon the hands to him, aute, epirota, auton, that's the second part of the verse, auton, a t blapes. And he kept on questioning, interrogating him. Third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. Him, accused of singular, masculine, third person pronoun. If anything you see. Now, that word there, that if there, is not a third class, and it's not a fourth class, it's not a second class conditional, it is first class conditional. And that means what, Sharon? First class conditional. Conditioned what? Condition what?
Condition on what the subject does?
That's an indicative mode after this. That indicative mode, that's what tells you what kind of a conditional particle this is. Brother Roger, what kind of conditional particle is? First class conditional. And that means what? Condition determined as fulfilled. You see? You see anything? You see? You see?
Because he's just really asking the man to confirm what he's already done.
Yeah.
It's already,
tell him what you see. Okay. Yeah, the better translation of that would be tell them what you see. So let's go over here to 23 in the Amplified. And he caught the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him, tell him what you see. Now, right here, it's got the wrong translation. Do you possibly see anything? That's not what he said, is it? The Greek says, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? Now, there's a very, very, very important verse or two or three here with medical science. Remember what I told you, that the Bible and medicine and science and all of this archaeology all agrees? Here is exactly that case right here is one of them. This is medical. Chi, anablepsos, elegane, blepo, tous, anthropus, hoti, ace, dendra, hora, peripatontes. And having looked up, he kept on saying, I see the men just as trees I see walking around. What's wrong with this? What's wrong with this verse? And what's right with it? 24. And he looked up and said, I see people, but they look like trees walking. What's wrong with this verse? And what agrees with medical science?
Well, when someone's blind, they don't just get their sight back and see something with their eyes.
This boy was probably blind from his birth. Okay?
So what's he going to know what a tree looks like?
Because he's held on to one of them.
Oh.
They know what people look like. They know what trees look like. And people have described all this to him because he's blind. And they've led him around, and he's understood this. Medically now, when a person is born blind, there are things that people can do before the age of 5 or 3 or 4 that will actually restore their sight or give them sight. But if a person gets up 8, 9, 10 years old, they don't usually do it. Did you know that? Because they can't fix the brain. If they fix the eyesight, the brain won't know what it's seeing anyway. It's everything's out of focus. This is the only gradual healing that Jesus did and is recorded in the Bible. Because he wanted you medical students to know that this guy had anomia. That's what the term is. They're not able to understand. This is called, in modern medicine, agnomia. and it takes time for a blind person's brain to be able to interpret sight. And when people like this have been given sight by modern medicine, they see upside down, or people look like trees should look like to them. Now here, his eyes were healed. Right off, weren't they? Not only did he heal his eyes, but now he's going to heal his brain. He's going to heal that mechanism in his brain that interprets sight. If you look in some of the old cameras, and we have what we call vision. Some people have very tunnel vision, but if you're normal, you can see, I can see both my fingers way out here. See? Right out there. And that's what we call panavision. And there are some cameras that will take panavision, but for a long time, when they took panavision, it looked like there was a street corner here, and things went both directions. And there's an example of that down there in the Pumpkin Center post office. You see that? Now, that's a straight road, but it's not a straight road. Because we can't train cameras to see right at that time. But now they've learned how to do that and use cameras to where a straight line like this, that you're looking down the road, is actually straight and not curved or square. It doesn't look like a street corner. This guy is going to have his brain healed. First of all, he healed his eyes. Number one. Just like modern science would say that he healed his eyes. And he looked up and he said, I see people looking like trees walking around. And then verse number 25. Eta, Pauline, Ethekane, Tos Keros, Epi Tus Ophthalmus, Autu Kai Di Blepsen, Kai Apa Kateste, Kai Ana Blepain, Te Lugos. Aponta. Let me see if this one's got a... Nope. That's it. Then, afterwards, a little adverb of time. Afterwards, again, another adverb. He laid upon him the hands upon the eyes of him. Now, they don't understand about this brain being trained business, but they do understand about this guy's got eyes, and now he sees one thing. Now today, this means more to us than it did to them right then. Because we understand medicine now. They didn't understand medicine then. But because we have the same truths in the Bible that are true about the earth, about the stars, the sky, and the heavens, and medicine and science, he tells us this today, not for people that live in 1500 or 500 A.D., but for those that live now. This is what we call confirmation of our faith. Medical science and the Bible agree. Medical science and the Bible, and that's the title of this message, Medical Science and the Bible. All right. And again, he laid upon the hands of him, upon the eyes of him, and he looked steadily and steadfastly and was completely restored. And he kept on saying clearly, plainly, all things, clearly, plainly, all things. Now his mind and the brain has been healed and put in sync with his eyes. 25. Then he put his hands upon his eyes again at the... And the Amplified says, and the man looked intently, that he has fixed his eyes on definite objects. And he was restored and saw everything distinctly, plainly, not without distortion, even what was at a long way off, even what was at a distance. All things, even that which was at a distance. 26. You have any questions so far? This is what we ought to teach our children in school. How that they can trust the Bible. How that the Bible is a book that can be trusted. The Bible does not teach that there are seven earths, and the Bible does not teach that the earth is flat. The Bible does not teach that the earth is flat and that God put mountains on it to hold the earth down to keep it from blowing away. But Muhammad said all this, didn't he? Now, the flat earth business, Muhammad got from the Catholic Church at that period of time. And, you know, this, I heard this on the radio not too long ago. A guy's out there, and he is a Seventh-day Adventist cult. And I like the old boy, but he comes up with some of the weirdest stuff. And he gets on there, and he said, "Hey, Jim, N7IU, you know that NASA and all these people have been lying to us all the time. The earth is actually flat." I said, "What are you, a Muslim? Are you a Catholic? Did you believe this?" Like that? I said, "The earth is flat. I've been up so high in the mountain, up so high in airplanes that I saw the curvature of the earth. The earth is round. And those things we take out there, and the moon is not a flat disc up there. It's round." My stepfather, Dale Remling, wrote a story one time called Luna. And in that story, he talks about the colonies that are hiding on the backside of the moon. And now there's a whole cult that follows that. But the truth is, the Bible says the earth is like a circle. It's a circuit. And earth revolves out there in the heavens as a circuit. 26. Chi, apostolain, auton, eis, oikon. Auton, lagon, mayday, eis, tain, komain, eis, eltes. And he sent him unto the house of him, saying, "Do not neither unto the village, unto your village, you may enter." And Jesus did not want this man to enter the village and cause a great commotion before he got there. Okay? 26. And he sent him away to his house, telling him, "Do not even enter the village or tell anyone there." And that's what that, "tell anyone there," that's in parenthesis, but that's what he means. Number 27. Are you getting something out of this? Mm-hmm. If you got nothing else, I want you to understand the Bible and science agree. The Bible and science agree. Chi exelthane. Ho Asus, Kai Hoi Mathete, Auto Ais Tas Kames, Kai Saurius, Tais Philippon, Kai In Te Hodo, Epi Rota, Tus Mathetes, Autu Lagon Autois. And that's got a second half of the sentence, or the verse. Tina, me legusin hoi anthropoi ene. And he went out. He went forth to Jesus. Jesus. Now, what does Jesus mean? What does that name mean? Jehovah saves. And the disciples, whose is? His church, belonging to him, unto the village of Caesarea. Caesarea. Of the Philippi, and in the way, in the road, he kept on questioning the disciples of him, saying to them, "Whom me they say the men to be, the mankind to be?" He says, "What do they say about me?" Now remember, in Matthew, the 16th chapter, we have this same thing, don't we? All right, number 27. And Jesus went on with his disciples, his church, to the village of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he kept on asking his disciples, his church, "Who do people say that I am?"
Now, he already knew what they said, so why did
But he wanted to know what they thought. And he knew all of this, didn't he?
Okay.
But he wants his church to repeat something to him. And this is the great thing, "Thou art Peter, and the King James, and upon you, that I'll be building a church, me and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." But that's not what he said, is it? We'll look at that in a few minutes, too. Hoi de epon. Auto legontes. Hote ewanen. Ton ba baptistein. Kai Eloi. Eleon. Eloi. De. Hote. Ace. Hase. That's not ace. Hase. Hase. That's a rough reader. Ton. Propheton. And one said to him, saying that John, some of them say they're John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others, ones, that one of the prophets you are, that one of the prophets, like Moses or somebody. Let's read it and amplify. And they answered him, John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and others say one of the prophets, like Moses or Enoch or somebody. Or Elijah. Elijah was the one that was supposed to usher in the kingdom one day. But who was Elijah? John the Baptist. All right. Number 29. Verse number 29. Kai autos epirota autus hemes de tina me legete ene apokrites ho petros lege auto si e ho Christos. And he kept on questioning and interrogating him. Ye, moreover, whom me ye say to be. He's asking them personally, each one, having answered, the Peter. He says to him, you are the Messiah. You are HaMashiach. You are the Christ. 29. And he asked them, but who do you yourselves, each one of you, say that I am? And Peter replied to him, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now we know what happened after this. Matthew 16 and 18. All right. Jesus said to Peter in another place. Now this is like a Reader's Digest abbreviated copy of the Gospels. So Mark left a lot of things out, didn't he? But let's go back and look what he said. Now first of all, he says to Peter what? You didn't understand that in Bethesda. You weren't taught that in the synagogues. But the Father from heaven revealed it to you. And he said, you are Peter, a small stone. But upon this gigantic Petra, foundational stone, I shall be building and keep on building my church, belonging to me, and the gates of hell will not be able to wrestle her down. That's the rest of the story. Okay? Now, yes.
Okay, is that the gigantic stone, the statement that he is the Christ?
Yes.
That's the stone.
He's the stone that the builders reject in the Old Testament.
And that he is the Christ.
That he is the Christ and he's the stone. He's the stone that followed Israel in the wilderness. The rabbis have stories about that stone following them and giving them water. Jesus said, I am the rock of Israel. I am Jehovah. And I always said in the Old Testament, Jehovah is my rock. My rock. My rock. My rock. And it's talking about this gigantic rock. Not a little stone that you can toss like the word Petros means, but it's Petra, a giant stone. Now the Catholic Church and many Protestant churches believe that that church was built upon Peter. But that's not what the Bible says, is it? The church is not built upon Peter, it's built upon Christ. And what did Peter say the church was built upon? Christ. You are lively stones, but Jesus is the stone that you're built upon. You're living stones, but Jesus is the stone. You're little stones, but Jesus is the great foundation rock. And under that throne of God in heaven is this gigantic foundation rock, and it's made out of pure diamond, polished, reflecting all the glory in the throne of that throne. And then verse number 30. Kai epitimason autois hina medene legusen peri autu. And he warned and rebuked them. Epitimao. The word timao means to honorable, and it means be honorable, obey, follow me, I'm warning you, I'm rebuking you in an audible way, them, that no one, that they might say this to concerning him. This is for the church only now, isn't it? The church's business. It's the business of the church to preach the gospel. It's the business of the church to preach and to make fit subjects for the kingdom of God. Is that what the purpose of the church is? And pastors are like not prophets, and yet they are because they're reading prophecies. They are like angels because an angel is a messenger. But all of these things are for one purpose, to build that church up, to make fit subjects for the kingdom. And Chris, I really appreciated your little note that you gave me that said that because of us, you have been a better mother and a Christian and a better church member and a better subject of God's kingdom. Thank you so much. I love it.
Thank you.
That means a lot to me. When you hear that. Mm-hmm. When you hear that. Because that's what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I did it once. At least, huh? Mm-hmm. To you. I did that once. I want to do it a whole lot. Roger, I hope that it's helped you. Because that's the purpose of all of these classes. These are what we call discipleship classes. Mathetes classes. Discipleship classes. Look and see what it says in the Amplified now. And he charged them sharply to tell no one about him. And then we have, on verse number 31, we have another subject. He goes on to another subject. But the subject today was that science and the Bible agree that in this healing that he did here, that God used this healing to teach us today. John didn't get it. Peter didn't get it. Matthew, Nathaniel, none of them got this lesson. But now that we know about modern science and medicine, we got the message, I hope. Did you get the message? Mm-hmm. Did you get it? All
but
right.
Also, they got a little part of the message because they understood that the messianic credentials was healing the blind.
He was. This is the Messiah.
Yeah.
And what verse did we start on? That was 8:17, wasn't it? 8:17 to 31. I'm working on this. I'm trying to get through it for you people and for those all out there. If you're out there listening to this message, it's for you also, that you will be built, the kingdom of God will be built up, and that you'll learn more. And take this message to the school children. Take this message to the Bible teachers. So many times, and I believe in faith, but where does faith come from? For in grace you're having been saved through faith. And I mean, even this translation here misses the whole boat. The faith is not of us, it is of God. God gives us the faith to believe. And there's nothing that replaces faith. But when you can communicate to lost people that God is a God of truth in history, the Bible is not a fairy tale. The Bible is a real story of real people that really lived. David is not a figment or imagination, nor is he some fairy tale of a man that lived so long ago, but it was really King David in Israel. Now they're trying to prove, the Smithsonian Institute tried to prove that David didn't exist. And you know what they found out? He was really there, but he was just a little bitty guy. I mean, you know, they try to play it down. And they tried to prove that Solomon didn't exist, as all of the Arabs say that Solomon never existed, that David never existed. These are all fairy tales. Mm-hmm. If they're fairy tales, why did Muhammad quote them in the Quran? They don't know the Quran and they don't know the Bible, nor do they know their own history of the land. The Bible... A lot of people tell me, well, I don't believe in the Bible. God told those people to go in that land, that they were His people. And why would He take one people over the other? Why did He do that? Because He knew what they were going to be. And did some of the Canaanites get saved? some of the Gentiles get saved. Were they ever cut off totally? No. Shechem is one of the worst examples in history of malicious murder. When Levi and Simeon went in there and murdered all those people after they had become converts. And I heard somebody the other day saying, oh, well, they were going to be terrible people and everything else. They wouldn't have been good converts. But what did Jacob say? You boys, what did Jacob say later on and it blessed him right when he's dying? You boys were murderers. You made me stink among all those Canaanites. And you caused a great war where many thousands of people died because of your treachery. And neither one of them, Levi, didn't have an inheritance at all, did he? But guess how? God forgives people so much that he made them preachers. That just shows you what God can make preach. Nothing. The bottom of the gutter, that's what he turned into preachers. The lowest form of life. Do you have any questions?
Yes.
Yes.
So, and I know you've said this 1,000 times, but I got to wrap my brain around it again. So, the church is us, but you don't, the church, the word the church is not in Scripture?
No, a church means assembly. Okay. When we talk about the Baptist church, we don't, and already, now some people believe the Baptist church is the Baptist church, but it is not the Baptist church. The Baptist church are individual democratic assemblies all over, and there's no big Baptist church like the Pope
right.
in the Vatican or whoever, you know, the head, the archbishops of all of these other Protestant Reformed churches. They have heads, and they answer up the deal. Baptists don't do that. There is no head of the Baptist church.
Right.
Every church is the head of itself, and it's not the pastor. If you want to ask a church what they believe, don't ask the pastor. Ask the church what they believe. What they vote on is what they believe.
Right.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yeah, not a Son of God, but the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for all man's sins? We believe that. You ask the church what it believes, and that specific, visible, local New Testament church stands on its own, and they will answer to God on their own when they come to heaven. And we don't see a universal bride that is in the world today that's made up of all of the saved. The saved may be in a bride, but not necessarily be in a bride. They're in the family of God always. But the church is a elite group of people that God has left into this world, and he said it won't be destroyed, while you ask the Protestant people. The church had to be reformed. The church didn't have to be reformed. The church was already out there. They didn't come to the church. They reformed Catholicism. They reformed the Church of England, the Reformation. But the churches were always there. And I teach church history. I'm known as a historian. A church historian by all over the world, I guess, because I've studied church history a lot. I got a lot of church history books, don't I? You've been in there. And I quote a lot of it. I teach church history, and I'm in the process of doing that little by little. I'm going to start teaching the life of Muhammad and just laying it out from their standpoint, from their sources, and comparing them with what really happened. Okay?
So,
but church history is not a group of people that believed exactly the same all the way down to dotting the I's and crossing the T's, because there were some differences in church history. And I've heard it say that you can trace one church all the way back to Christ. You can trace the doctrine of God's churches all the way back to Christ. You know they were there. You can study church history and you see them. They existed. The Novatians, the Paterines, the Puritans, the Cathari, all of these, the Paulicians, the Arnolds, the Albigenses, the Henricians, all of these people actually live. The Mennonites, the Amish, trace themselves right back there and they go straight back. But you can't trace one of those churches literally back in history. And people say they can do that. That's not being honest. but you can trace the doctrine, and you know that they existed, and not everything was absolutely perfect all the way, sweethearts. But the basis of it was always there, all the way through history. And it wasn't in the Protestant Reformation. It wasn't in Catholicism. It was in those true New Testament churches.
So the difference
They tried. Calvin tried to reform the church. And Calvin probably was a lot more sound than Luther was when it comes to... But they both persecuted the true Christians, which were the Waldenses, the churches of the valleys of the Piedmont. These people died. They were killed, murdered. But we have scriptures through them. The Catholic Church forbid the scriptures. For hundreds of years, they forbid that anyone would have one page out of the Bible. They changed the language of the Bible from the Koine Greek, which everybody understood, to Latin, which only the ruling elite understood. And that's why we had the Latin as the legal language. That's why we have it like that today. Greek is the medical and scientific language. Yes.
So the church, the body of Christ, and the bride, they're all different.
That's right.
So the church is...
Any churches today, just because you're in some church, people join churches sometimes that aren't scriptural at all, period. They don't even preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Mm-hmm.
There, a lot of them is nothing but prosperity gospel and get well and go out and do and feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And all that is a psychological lesson. And they'll tell you how to feel good and all this kind of stuff, like when you go to a psychologist or whatever. But true New Testament churches preach the truth. Have you ever heard me preach anything but the truth?
Mm-mm.
All right, I mean, that's what I try to do. Have I always tried to glorify Jesus, who is our Savior and our only hope of heaven?
Mm-hmm.
It's not what I do. I'm not perfect. I'm the most imperfect person that you could ever lay your eyes upon. I'm one of them people pulled out of the gutter. One of those snipes. One of those, you know, snipe hunting and all that, you know. I'm one of those gutter snipes.
So the body of Christ is all believers.
All believers are in the family of God. But not all of the family of God are in God's churches.
And then the bride is going to be from...
And the bride is going to be the faithful members like Paul. Those that will be part of that bride. Not everybody will be in the bride. What you do in the world today depends on how you're going to spend eternity. Not in heaven or hell, but in the closeness of Jesus. How close are you to Jesus in the world today? How close are you doctrinally sound? How are you able to surrender your beliefs and your ideas to Him? I can tell you that I'm going to be saved. But I cannot tell you that I will be in the bride at all. Not with confidence. I can tell you, I don't know what it means, what it takes to be in the bride. You know what it takes to be in the bride? Everything.
So the verse in Revelation, I think it's in Revelation, when it talks about the saints under the throne that were martyred, that
yes.
are crying out. How
they're not in the church at all.
They're not?
The church is already there. The church is already with the Lord.
Then why are they calling how much? Oh, they're talking about how much.
These are the tribulation saints,
okay.
which are very special. They'll be judging and ruling and reigning with Christ, yes, but they're not part of the bride because they rejected the gospel in this age that we're in today.
Right. They had to give their lives for it.
Yeah, they had to give their lives for the gospel, and they did, and that's a very special honor and a very special place. But it's not the bride because the bride is already with Christ. The bride was caught up with the Lord. And for 7 years, the bride is going to be with her Lord in heaven, while all this tribulation period is going on earth.
Now, without saying it's like black and white and it's totally true, would you be able to maybe extrapolate or whatever that word is from this?
Expound?
That, yeah, or something. That people before the tribulation that have been martyred and given their life for Christ would be the bride or in the bride?
Not necessarily. Some people that have given their lives to the Lord aren't even saved. Do you think a Jehovah's Witness that died over there and was beheaded, do you think, without believing in Christ, the Son of God, and that God gave his son. They don't believe that.
No, I'm saying assuming that they actually have.
Okay, how about Catholics? All of them that may not even believe in the real gospel. Mm-hmm. They're trusting in religion. I just finished reading that, and it's online, that Pilgrim Progress. They got up there, and the one guy, he trusted in himself. He trusted in what he did and his own works and everything. He got up there and even paid a boatman to go over the river and got to the gate, and then they was shoot to hell. That's like people that don't believe. They can give their lives, and that river that is talking about there, it's death. Dying. After death, there is no more choices to make, is there? You either make them in this world, in this life right now. That's why it's so important for us to preach the gospel. The gospel. Not churches have become entertainment centers. Have they not? I'm telling you the truth. They're becoming entertainment centers to gather numbers and people. But what are these people? What are they doing? Having a good time. That's real good. But what? What do they believe? This is what we need to do, is teach people what the Bible says. The most important sermons that I ever preached was a set of sermons that I did on the doctrines of the Bible. And that church, my students made me do it 5 times in a row. I didn't think I was ever going to get out of the doctrines of the Bible. You weren't there, were you?
No.
No, you weren't there, but you've gone back and looked.
Well, I was at the tail end of your last class.
Yeah. Anyway, but you've gone back and listened to them, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
They were very important, weren't they? Yes, those are things that are very important. Salvation, soteriology is important. Who Jesus was important, who the Father is, who the Holy Spirit is all important. People worship the Holy Spirit in some churches today and not Jesus. Don't they?
Mm-hmm.
They worship an experience and not Jesus. There is experience when you know that your sins are forgiven, isn't there? When you realize that your sins are forgiven, that you know that you are saved. Isn't that beautiful? You know that today, Roger?
Mm-hmm.
I remember Bill Hawkins came to my class for about 3 years. He came up to me and hugged me with tears in his eyes. And he said, "This day, out of all of my life, I understand if I die tonight, I get to go to heaven." He was so happy. He had spent 30 years of his life in church. But the preacher beating his head over, smoking and drinking and all this kind of stuff. If he did this, he couldn't go to heaven. Couldn't go to heaven. Couldn't go to heaven. Couldn't go to heaven. Didn't say about what got you there at all. Believing in Jesus Christ, in his birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection. That's what gets you to heaven. Now, we shouldn't smoke. We shouldn't drink. We shouldn't commit adultery, nor any of these other things, should we? No. But what gets you to heaven? Jesus alone. Jesus alone. That's a very important doctrine, isn't it? Doctrine of salvation. Now, out here in the world, we got churches in all different forms and matters. And if you've got a very small elite in a church, a very small number, I believe it is still a Christian church, even when the majority are going the wrong way, as long as there are some that believe the truth. And I've said that for all of my life. And I think I can prove that from scriptures as we have studied church history. What does it take? I remember the Gloria Gardens Missionary Baptist Church in Bellflower, California. It became the first Missionary Baptist Church in Bellflower, California. That church had in their writing, in their constitution of that church, when they became a legal entity with the state of California, if the majority of this church believes and goes the wrong way on the Lord's Supper, baptism, the doctrine of Christ, or anything else, the minority that believe the truth are still in the majority. That's something. That's true. And I have thought about that all my life. Roy M. Reed, Roy Marion Reed, preached that and read those very church papers to us as we went to that seminary down there so many years ago, 48 years ago in my life. And it has never left me. That's what I try to teach. I try to teach that.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to teach be one of those examples of doctrinal soundness and all of the other things that I can possibly be, even though I'm a fragile, imperfect human being with all the fragileness of anything. We just are all fragile. We're all imperfect beings, but we have a perfect God with a perfect Savior that gets us there. Anything else? Uthamia? You know what that means? Nothing else.
Nothing else.
All right.
We're done.
Nothing else. All right. Christine, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Dear Lord, I just thank you for allowing us to gather here and study your word and dig deeper, Lord, into what you have said to us that's still relevant to us today, Lord. So I pray that you will open our hearts and our minds, Father, that you will help what we've learned and heard to sink in, Father, and that we can go out and use it to glorify you and to encourage other believers, Father, in their walk with you. So we ask this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Now see, I quit at 45 minutes, but we went on further. But that's all right. That's what I want. That's very important.
I've got to get home and get supper.